Sunday morning to you. It's Dave Player once again here on 720 WGN. So it's the dawn of the new fall TV season, and tonight is the 71st Primetime Emmy Awards. Who better to talk about it all is Chicago's own Maureen Ryan, who began her career with the Chicago Tribune. She's worked for Variety, Rolling Stone, and now is a freelance writer for The Hollywood Reporter, TV Guide, New York Times, among others. And she joins us this morning. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning.
Glad to have you with us again. It's Emmy night. Big night tonight.
It is a big night, and I think it's going to be kind of a little bit of a litmus test. I think, you know, there's a lot going on, a lot of shows that have big followings, but to me the big question is, will it be Game of Thrones runs away with everything, or will other people get a chance to win a few statues too?
I know, 14 nominations this year, which is pretty crazy. But you know what, it's a test for me too, because I feel like it's come to a time in my life that for decades I cheered my favorite shows because I knew what they were, but you know, and now I barely can keep up with what's out there.
Yes, and 10 more shows are announced every day. And the funny thing is, when an email hits my inbox, like it's season 2 of this show, and I think, I didn't remember that season 1 came out, but I will take your word for it that it definitely exists.
Yeah, right? You know, yeah.
It's a lot to keep up with.
Well, it almost seems like a springboard for me to watch some of these shows. You know, you get a sneak peek watching these short clips during the Emmys, and you're kind of like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. So it's connected me to some new programming, at least.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, you know, people sometimes say, and I've served on juries for different kinds of awards, and I really enjoy that kind of thing. You know, sometimes people say, well, oh, all these awards are stupid. And I say, well, here's the thing. You can't dismiss them because, first of all, they provide us with the entertainment of rich people getting dressed up for our amusement, which I'm sorry, but that's like a thing that I enjoy.
Yeah.
And if that makes me a bad person, then I want to be a good person. But the other thing is, you know, they get it right sometimes. They've, you know, given Emmys to Cheers and Friday Night Lights and The West Wing and loads of great shows that we all love, you know, Breaking Bad. You can't deny that, like, this is, it just gives it another layer of validation, you know, and oftentimes the people making TV don't have enough time to keep up with all the TV out there, so that definitely leads to some disjunctions and some, you know, some holes in the sort of nomination rosters. But I really think that it's hard to look at these lists of nominees and say, boy, these people don't deserve this, because it's a pretty stacked list of very good actors and very good shows.
Well, what's funny is my favorite is the comedy series, and I'm 5 for 7 on this category. Like, usually I'm looking at these shows and I'm like, no, I've only watched half of them at this point. But comedy, you know, maybe that's just because it's a larger category and you're drawn to it. There's a lot of great, there's 3 great shows that I just love in this category. But I mean, there's a lot of good ones up against each other. Why don't we share some of those?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I the only show that we don't watch a lot of shows together as a family. I have a teenager, and my husband and I have similar tastes, but they're not exactly the same. But we all watch The Good Place, and I would definitely love it if The Good Place were to win. You know, the other shows on the list are popular, but I would say they're a little bit more niche. But I just really love that all these different kind of flavors are represented. You know, you've got the throwback, retro feel of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Schitt's Creek, I'm sorry, I'm not swearing on the air, that's the name of the show.
I gotta tell you something, and, I love Schitt's Creek, and I love Eugene Levy, I love these guys.
So much. Yeah, and that's a really, that's a show that, you know, one of the things I love about this era, I mean, definitely there's a lot to keep up with, maybe too much, but everyone kept saying, hey, you know, on my social media, like, oh, Schitt's Creek is so good, you should check it out. And now I can go back and go, wow, this was so good. Same, you know, there's certain shows that take a little while to kind of find their momentum and the attention that they deserve. And, you know, I mean, Barry and Veep are really great HBO shows. They're just known for turning out quality products. But I also love that Fleabag and Russian Doll, which are different from each other, but have these really exceptional core performances and really sharp writing. You know, even in this great vast sea of television, those gems are being found and being celebrated. You know, even if they don't win, it's cool that they get to, like, go and have a fun night courtesy of the TV Academy.
So based on what you know of these shows, who should win and who might win? Mm.
I think in comedy, who should win is The Good Place. I think who might win is Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, because a lot of times what happens with the Emmys is the repeat factor, and that show has won, you know, various awards over the years. It's not been around for long. But I would say I want The Good Place to win, and I think it's a toss-up between Marvelous Mrs. Maisel and Veep,
yeah.
Both of which have their very strong adherence, which for good reason. You know, they're very good. And it's, with it being the last season of Veep and the last season of Game of Thrones, I think it got to really give HBO a lot of, you know, momentum going into this night. That kind of acclaim and attention is hard to miss, you know, and hard to beat.
Absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Drama, a Game of Thrones, 14 nominations for its final season. That is the show with the most nominations. You got Better Call Saul, Bodyguard, Killing Eve, Ozark, Pose, Succession, This Is Us. I have to tell you, I love Better Call Saul, but I love Ozark. I just think that's just such a great, it's just, to me, that's just like pure entertainment where I have to be sitting down. I can't be doing other things, and I got to be paying attention, right?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, I love very intricate dramas like that. Although I got to tell you, in terms of my personal faves, I mean, I two shows that couldn't be more different than each other, Pose and Succession. I guess what they do have in common is that they have great characters and these worlds that I am not necessarily privy to. And that's the great thing that TV does. It's like, I don't really know what it's like to be, you know, to ride a dragon or to participate in a ball, in the ball culture of New York City, or, you know, be like be amongst the billionaire class. But these shows are so memorable because they take us somewhere else, and there's just so much competition at this top tier of TV. And the great thing is you can have an Ozark, you can have This Is Us. Their tone, their whole ideas are very different. One is a family drama, one is much more dark and much more kind of twisty and so forth. But there's room for all of it. You know, we all get to have our taste catered to.
Now, Game of Thrones, just, you know, we talk about last seasons for like Veep. You know, do you see this one running away, or there was just so much hype during Game of Thrones here. Like, are people over it a little bit? Like, you know, what happens at that point?
That's why we, you know, when we started out talking, that's what the referendum really is. There are different overlapping groups of people. Okay. There's people who write about TV, people who make TV and vote on these awards, and then the general public. And again, there's overlap in these groups, but they're not the same. And you know, the people who are voting on this tend to be a little more down the middle. A show like Ozark or Pose might get a nomination for best drama, but I would be highly doubtful if those shows won. It's usually the kind of the mainstream choice that wins that kind of big category. So Better Call Saul winning, I wouldn't see it as outside the realm of possibility. I do kind of think that Game of Thrones will win, and for a few reasons. And, you know, I've had my own up and down kind of relationship with the show. I think we all have. You know, there's been some stuff that I've really loved, and there's some stuff that, you know, it's not outrage culture to just say, I didn't like this and here's why. Like, we shouldn't necessarily dismiss the last season of the show. Like, I personally know that I wasn't looking for a reason to dislike things. And there were certain moments and episodes that I've just absolutely loved. But then I just thought that the show got really rushed toward the end. But one thing I've noticed in my career of writing about TV is that awards giving bodies often reward the most TV. You know, the most things are happening, the most money was spent, there's the most promotion, the most saturation in our brains and in the media. So Game of Thrones is just giant. It's like one of those little dragon. It was like a little dragon egg itself in the first season. You know, people were like, oh, this seems cool. Now it's a gigantic thing flying through the sky, raining down, you know, destruction or wonder, whatever you want to call it. So it's sort of this world-beating, one-of-a-kind phenomenon. And I find it very hard to believe that. I guess my guess would be it will win Best Drama again. And I'd be really surprised if it didn't walk away with the a lot of acting trophies and other in the technical categories. You know, it deserves some love there too, because obviously it's one of the most complex and ambitious shows out there. I mean, if we're talking about a should win for best drama, I actually kind of like another HBO show a little better, Succession, which kind of snuck in under the radar last year. Yeah. And it's kind of a bunch of things at once. It's a really good HBO soap opera, and it's also this kind of devastating commentary on, you know, family dynamics and wealth inequality and, you know, rich people being dumb, you know, or jerks or mean. Yeah. So it's kind of got all these different qualities you can hook into, and the performances are really, really excellent.
Also, I think when we get to limited series and television movie, you know, the fact that HBO, you said, might, you know, Veep might in its last season, Games of Thrones, you got some good ones here too from HBO. That, you know, Sharp Objects was quite deep. I mean, that was a for limited series. And When They See Us is great. What do you think on limited series?
Well, I actually think that might actually be the toughest category. That has been a category that was a total snooze fest 5 years ago, for sure, 10 years ago. Really, honestly, for a long time in the limited series space, PBS would do some stuff, but it was really, really dominated by HBO in every possible way. There were just a few people kind of playing in that area, and they were the dominant force by far. But now a lot of people are getting into it, and a lot of movie stars are coming in to TV and saying, hey, if this is only a 6 month commitment, or, you know, 4 month or six, you know, 8 month commitment, I can do this. I can get it into my schedule. I think that Sharp Objects is a leading contender, in no small part because, you know, you have this incredible cast, and then Amy Adams, you know, what the Emmys love is a movie star coming to TV and deigning, you know, to grace us with their presence. So,
right,
and again, she gave a great performance, so there's no shade in what I'm saying. I do think that Chernobyl, though, weirdly enough, has another HBO show. I mean, it'd be interesting if they made a sweep of all three of these top categories.
I know, I'm looking at this. I know, right? Yeah.
There's so much TV, and still we're looking at this one outlet as having these, you know, really high quality shows. But, you know, Chernobyl actually had a really interesting afterlife, I guess, you know, half-life, if we're going to talk in atomic terms, which maybe is appropriate. But it's what TV... it makes me kind of proud to be sort of someone who thinks about or writes about TV, because it's not glamorous in the sense of like movie stars and cool locations and big effects. I mean, there were definitely great performances and a lot of people who put a lot of work into it, but this was a show about something that's not exciting in the sense of like, it's not a sexy thing where a movie star is going to do a cool, you know, like pulpy adventure story. I think both When They See Us and, you know, Chernobyl are both challenging, but it's good that TV is still challenging us. And this is a really, again, Escape with Dana Mora, Fosse Verdon, they're all very high quality. This is the category where I could honestly tell you it could go any which way. I kind of lean toward, I guess, Sharp Objects and Chernobyl. But I think actually When They See Us has an outside chance. That sort of it was very well reviewed, and I think Netflix is such a common denominator for people now.
It is, yeah.
You know, it's just something that most people are aware of.
Television movie, there's Bandersnatch on Netflix, there's Brexit on HBO, Deadwood on HBO, King Lear, Prime Video, My Dinner with Hervé on HBO. First of all, did you like the Deadwood movie?
I loved it.
Yeah,
I
me
loved
too.
It.
I'm a huge fan of that, and to know that it's been that long since these characters were together was pretty wild. You know, I thought it ended very quietly for me. I wasn't quite sure what I was expecting. I loved it, and then the ending kind of like, not that I was let down by it, but I was kind of like, oh, okay. All right, that's
it
where
was,
we're going.
You know what? It was a love letter. You know, that's what I
that's
just.
A great
it was obviously
that.
Done with so much celebration of Deadwood as a franchise, and yeah, I mean, it wasn't. You know, it's funny because my husband and I rewatched Deadwood in total, and then we watched the movie straight away after that, and so you could see how it was not the same. You know, it was definitely. tonally and just in terms of who they could wrangle and who got a storyline, it had a different feel. But I think, you know, one of the things that struck me about that movie was, not for nothing, but one of the villains of the piece was the phone company coming to town, and HBO is now owned by a phone company, AT&T, which I thought was hilarious, bit of social commentary that passed by a lot of folks. So, it was still Deadwood, it was still feisty, and I just really loved it. It was kind of like a class reunion party, and I, as such, though, I thought it worked, and I want it to win.
Yeah, me too. Okay, good. So we're in the same. So I'm hearing a lot of HBO here again. Billions of choices, and HBO could take this whole night. Which
I
is
promise
crazy.
You that HBO is not paying me any money. But it's I will say as a critic that this is actually a really true thing. There's a lot of people attempting to make TV. I don't necessarily know that the pool of people who can make very high quality TV expands by leaps and bounds every year. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's still, in my mind, it's kind of like, I mean, I'm going to show my age here, but it's like a record label or a band.
Yeah, no, I'm with
you. You would say, okay, this person has done a lot of good work. And, you know, the track record of some of the streaming companies is not as strong and solid as some of these, more established television brands, if you will. But I think everyone's trying to compete at a very high level, which is only like a good thing for you and me, right?
I think so. Absolutely. Absolutely. And now, of course, we got the fall TV season launching. Give me a few shows that you're really excited about, like, you know, that are brand spanking new that you're like, I'm going to watch that. Or you've seen them already.
Oh, well, I can tell you about one that I actually watched today.
Okay,
I'll be writing a review of it a little bit down the road. The Modern Love column in the New York Times is something that's been going for quite a while. And a person will tell a story about their dating life or a breakup or a marriage or some other kind of deep relationship that they've had. And they've turned it into a series of short half-hour episodes for Amazon. That's coming out October 18th. And I've watched a few of those, and I think it's good. And it's there's a lot going on in the world. I don't know if you noticed. It's like troubling or disturbing or strange or whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking as I was watching it, this is like settling down with a nice hot cup of tea on a cold winter evening. Yeah. There's something sweet about it. And it's not totally cloying. It's good. It's about how people do get their hearts broken sometimes. But it's really well made and really, really nice. Speaking of HBO, we have to continue the theme, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have Watchmen, the adaptation of the incredible comic, that changed so many people's perceptions of the whole genre of comic books. So Watchmen is coming on October 20th. And then His Dark Materials, another adaptation that HBO did with the BBC, of the Philip Pullman novels, fantasy novels, that's coming in November 4th. And then speaking of British people, which we always should be doing, The Crown comes back. And I've seen the first four of the new season of The Crown with Miss Olivia Colman, Oscar winner in the lead role as Queen Elizabeth II. And she's phenomenal. The whole cast is phenomenal. Tobias Menzies from Outlander plays her husband, Prince Philip, and it's absolutely addictive. Once again, you will not be able to avoid it. And I just have to sneak in a little promotion for a returning show if I can, and that's The Good Place, which we already mentioned, but it's coming back for its final season. I don't want it to be over, but that's kind of the lifespan of shows these days. They don't necessarily stay around for 10 seasons. We just got to love them while we can.
Which is Modern Family. And, although some people say it's getting tired and so forth, it's something I watch like live when it's on with my daughter, and we've watched it for years. And so that's really special to us. What about the morning show on Apple TV? Jennifer Aniston, Reese Witherspoon, Ooh. Steve Carell.
Yeah, I haven't seen a thing. I've seen the same promos that everyone else has had, the trailers and whatnot. I'm really intrigued by one because, here's the thing. That is not a show that had an easy road to making it to our screens, whatever screens they're going to end up on.
Right, yeah.
All of our Apple screens.
Yeah.
It was a long period to get it made, and there's a lot of big, high-profile names attached to it. So I will be intrigued because sometimes something that high-profile turns out to be, a train wreck, and then, if we want to return to the HBO theme, Big Little Lies Season 2, partly great, partly didn't quite hit the mark. So I think it's going to be, everyone will be watching the morning show, and that is really what's happening again. You know, when 15 years ago, a bunch of cable networks came up and they were hungry and they were trying, they had something to prove, you know, 15 to 20 years ago when it was Sopranos, Battlestar Galactica, and, you know, the Shield and Nip Tuck and shows like that. So basically what they did is they tried to put themselves on the map by having either a show concept that was really cool and interesting and well executed, or having, you know, a big star come in and do this incredible project. So we're really just seeing the same thing happen over again with streaming coming in, and just, they are just, they just opened a gigantic money hose on Hollywood, and they're just spraying their money around. We, you know, not all of it will be good. We know from experience that, you know, the first year or two of Netflix, it's not like they, you know, did a great, you know, show every time out of the gate. But I, you know, Disney's coming out with The Mandalorian this fall, their new service. Apple's coming out with The Morning Show, which is kind of their big flagship. Debut. So it's going to be very, very exciting and fun.
And I'm going to sound really old here, but I love everything Edie Falco does, and then she's got a new show on CBS called Tommy. I'm just intrigued. Like, I want to see what her character is going to be next, because I've loved her in The Sopranos, loved her in Oz, loved her in Nurse Jackie. I just think what she touches is gold, and I'm looking forward to something new there, too.
Oh, completely. And if I can, I'll shill for another broadcast network show starring someone whose work I've long admired, and that is Walton Goggins, is in a new CBS sitcom in a role that you might think is a bit of a departure for him. He was in Justified, he was in The Shield, he's been in all sorts of movies, but he's going to be in a show about a widowed dad going back into the dating world on CBS called The Unicorn, which premieres at the end of September. And that's the kind of thing that I agree with you. Sometimes someone you love just steps into a new role and you thought, oh, I can't think of them as anything but this other character. But then with someone like Edie Falco or Walton Goggins, it just makes it easy.
Absolutely does. Maureen Ryan, always love your insight and love what you do. And I guess we'll find out tonight how our picks go.
Sounds great. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. All right. News is next on 720 WGN.